Okay, so what we're looking at is the foundations of Christian living. This is the last section we're in. It's foundations of controversy.
We're
looking at doctrinal
points. Not having much luck with scripture readers this tonight or today.
Doctrines okay. that are controversial.
Scripture reading is Proverbs 17.
For the most part, it's controversy with the world, how the world views things, and you
verses
can use this section if you're sitting down with something of just a place it's to go to deal with the.
Okay. Proverbs 17.
The problems or the subjects they may have.
Beginning of verse 1. Better is a dry morsel
and
quietness with
it course of, you know, conversion or whatever,
than a house full of feasting and strife.
There are some
a servant who acts wisely
are,
will
in
rule
the church,
over a son who acts
some
shamefully
of these, though, we've already covered
and will share in the inheritance among brothers.
Sunday nights in the handouts.
The refining
so
pot
get to
is back, for silver.
What I'll probably do is just cut this
gold.
Thing off at the thief of the cross.
But the Lord
and then go on
tests
to some
the
other
hearts.
Things.
An evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to destructive to a destructive tongue.
Last time
tongue.
I was up here, we did in the imperishable
he who mocks
word,
the poor approaches
21.
His maker. He who rejoices
from what
at
I
calamity
Justin,
will not
he covered
punished.
Pretty much the subject of man's problem
men,
and God's
the
plan.
Glory of sons is their
fathers. So we're going to skip that.
Excellent okay. speech is not
already covered.
For a fool,
yeah, I trust Justin.
Much less our lying lips.
And we're going to look at lesson 23, the Godhead.
In that context, we have
trying to understand it.
We're going to be looking at this evening.
Scripture, we're starting off with this Matthew 28:19, where, you know, here's Jesus,
the prodigal father.
After the resurrection, he comes to his disciples.
Ephesians 6:4 in this Proverbs 17:16.
Very tight in
It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger,
talks about
but
them,
bring them
all authorities have been given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore,
the
go
Lord.
And preach the gospel to all nations.
We're familiar with the story of the prodigal son.
Into the name of the Father,
kind of wasted
the Son, and the Holy
things
Spirit.
That were left to him.
They're all involved.
But this is more or less
so we know
a look at a prodigal
that they're
father,
put on an equal footing
sort of the,
in their mention.
The head of the house
head,
gets most
these
of the responsibility.
In fact,
but
when you're talking about
as
the
most
name,
cases in the... scriptures, when it talks
the more
about
I get into that, the more
quintessential
comprehensive
upper
it gets,
person or
in the sense of
principle.
It's a,
it covers
it's a
everything
walk
underneath.
Of life. It's
so
a way of doing things.
Also, good
it,
principles
it's a mindset.
For perhaps
it's something that
someone put it
like in the Old Testament.
Or
you know,
the kids, for anybody in a position,
believe
you know,
a certain thing and live that.
Authority,
you know, it molds your character.
Yeah, you've
that's
been
what
given
you
a very
because
privileged
of the
position.
You do. Like John says,
be careful.
The one that does righteousness is righteous. So that's what the name applies. First of all,
in,
character, it refers
in
to
introduction
relationship.
To this, the word prodigal
Moses
means a squander,
to,
a waster.
God said,
a user
think,
of one's
I,
means,
I know
and finally,
your name.
Reckless extravagance.
And he says,
that is to live beyond your means and just run
so
through whatever someone's
given
you.
Not only deals with
you.
Character, but also
the parable of the prodigal
ship,
son is a tragic
and
story
you
into, of
because
that
of
sin,
you know,
bringing
you,
with it fearful consequences.
If you're walking in a way that
for
you're close to God,
our concern, you're... though it's not about the prodigal son back then, but about the many prodigal fathers of today who are wayward in their duties
with
their children.
And then as
give
you get
examples
to
like
Eli, Galatians, where it talks about certain churches,
sons,
they have
Nadab
a name
and Abihu,
of being alive but are dead.
Shortly.
Yeah, it gets to a reputation.
And, or like David with Absalom.
People look at you and go,
look
yes,
at
this is the way you are. God has a reputation. So, you know, when it talks about, you know, being
such
baptized into
waste
the name
substance,
of the Father, the Son,
squander their influence and opportunities or sacrifice their glorious position
a close
of fatherhood
with them
by neglecting careless
glory,
and indifferent
whatever.
Living.
And you can draw from that what we normally
it's more of an attitude
talk about.
Looking towards self
to do with
looking at outward
we have authority
at responsibility
to do what you're doing
to others.
Because they've given it to
and,
you.
How
so that's all involved in what the name is.
And
this is what you're baptized into. But it's not just baptized.
So we're first
going to
look at the responsibility
well,
it
talks
of
fatherhood. About Galatians baptized into Christ.
From Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way you
yeah,
would go.
The relevance of all
even
three
when he's old,
he
will not depart from it.
Yeah, that's important. The concept of
this is an incredible principle.
Godhead. Now the controversy,
the Catholic
problem is
saying,
as old as man's conception
or
misconception
of
God.
Life, and we'll give you a Catholic forever.
Obviously, the God of the Bible is far different than the gods of pagan religions.
They learn a lot.
He's
their,
spiritual.
Their,
he's more
their
awesome.
Time
more
of
all-knowing, all-powerful.
Up everything.
He interrelates with his creation.
To see, the ears are trying to hear.
Okay, the pagan
the world
gods
around
didn't do
them
that.
Fascinating. They take in
but,
everything.
But what is surprising is that many have different concepts of God that they get from
the
scriptures.
Various sounds of different languages.
Yeah, and
so later in life they won't have as much difficulty.
Really want to look at. Although not a Christian religion, the people of the Islamic faith have a common tie
to those structure their paths.
Muhammad refers to Christians and Jews as the people of the book, at least in his early writings.
Really,
anyway,
they don't know of any other way to go.
And holds a shared descendancy from Abraham.
And it's a lot easier at that point
than religion
and
even physical stuff. And Muhammad's writing, the Quran, is almost 90% quotations or misquotations, unfortunately,
catastrophic
from the Bible
lately. But
yet the Islamic faith believes that there's only one God.
They always show the earth, you know, always this meteor.
They also consider a belief in the Trinity. That is
something hidden for it, and the only way to get rid of it is to blow it out of the path or whatever. The point being is, if you start when it's way out there, you need a smaller amount of explosive.
That's one misconception.
All you have to do is
the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, believe that
for enough to miss everything.
What I'm telling you here,
if you wait till it's almost on you.
Good luck.
Although I presented this to
the
last
Mormon elders that came to my door, and he goes, we don't believe that.
With a lie.
But I'll tell you, this is what they believe.
You can get it going on the right path early.
Who, with very little effort,
he holds seminars where he invites,
he'll have a room full of 30 Mormons.
And he tells them what they believe
to save
their
books
after it's been
absorbed by the world.
What he got from their writings, and they didn't dispute
so many.
The Mormons used to believe, anyway,
that
the God of the Bible was a man on another planet, and because of his faithfulness to the God of that world, he was rewarded by being made the God of this world.
Sunlight.
So,
we're looking at,
tell you,
really
believe in the same God,
fathers or parents or whatever,
or teachers.
Now,
the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that the Father is God.
In fact, one of the things
Jesus,
people complain about when you're
indoctrinating
the word a kid
is a God.
There's
this
nothing
is
wrong
the way
with indoctrination
as the New World
the right
Translation, John 1:1, is a God.
There are countries that use indoctrination a bad way.
Unitarians,
children
and also the Baha'i faith,
others that do not believe that Jesus is divine. He's a prophet like any of the other prophets.
And so
Moses,
tried to do
like Elijah, like Muhammad.
Young souls do it the right way.
Eastern prophets or whatever,
for all in the same level.
A man is to be in the image of God.
The Pentecostals believe that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are not three different beings, but different manifestations of the same being.
What are you presenting to the child?
Like I say, you get a lot of different things or concepts that come out of the scriptures
when people,
if the example you're setting is
really understand how all of it goes together.
They need something to look at. They can't see God.
Controversies
are very impressionable.
Even those who have a conservative view of the scriptures and believe that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all divine are not entirely sure how to reconcile
the
fact that you have
three,
but there's only one.
And so hopefully what you're displaying to them is the proper image.
Remember the church.
They're seeing God in you.
This concept.
It's a
and
hard
concept.
And
they're
seeing a Father that's honorable.
You get it down.
In Ephesians 5:22.
Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel,
this
the
is
Lord
kind of
our God,
the
Lord is
wise,
one.
But as wives are to be subject to their own husbands, as the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife.
Some explanation.
Much of the problem clears up with an understanding of the broad uses of the term one.
As husband, as father.
I mean, what are we talking about?
Responsibility is on him.
Now, the Hebrew and the Greek word for one has the same breadth of meaning as the English.
The husband
when
can
we
turn
talk
over
about
to
being one,
now he can delegate some of
the
cardinal responsibility
one,
to the spouse.
There's also being one in
but
agreement.
But ultimately,
one
the husband being the head of the wife in Ephesians 6:1.
They're all
children
used,
obey
all
your
languages.
Parents in the
all
Lord.
All three of these languages
the parents
the same,
word,
same breath.
In the position of being
so
in the authority
you gotta
of the
look
household.
At the context to determine exactly which way you're going.
Okay.
When Jesus said, "I and the Father are one," he was referring to the fact that he and the Father had everything in common.
Ultimately, the man.
He spoke only what the Father told him to. He did only the Father's will. His very nature was like that of the Holy Father.
Privileged position.
They were in agreement in everything. In fact, this is why he could say he was seeing me as seeing the Father.
Second,
the Son of God.
As a provider,
all the attributes you see in the Father,
he must be a provider for his household, although this implies more than just bringing home the bread. I've heard people say, well, I provide
the Old Testament scriptures actually keep
home.
Referring to God in the
that
plural
more
form.
Is caught up in provision than that.
Note in Genesis 1:26, God says that
1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for
our
his own
image,
especially for
in Ecclesiastes 12:1, you look at the literal Hebrew,
it says, worse than an unbeliever.
Remember your creators.
So it's not just looking at when he talks about being a provider. Not just
the very word,
but also
God in Hebrew is Elohim, the plural form of
are we
El.
Teaching
El
is
children, God,
you know,
the I am
spiritual
plural.
Nutrition.
So you got one
that's a
cherub,
that's a part of it.
If you got more than
big
one,
part,
you've got
bigger
a cherubim.
Part of it. you know, that has to be considered.
A cherubim, as we're pronouncing.
Three, he has the responsibility of nurturing and admonishing.
A little bit more in the Hebrew.
Admonishing means putting something in the mind.
It's more literally expanded than this.
It's a compound word. That's and what
you've
got to
be aware of some of these things.
To put
the Hebrew
down
not only has a singular and a plural, it's also got a dual.
Life. Hopefully, in this case, for the better.
What?
English does too.
These are the terms that are used by Ephesians 6:4 in the King James Version.
To a pair of
Thayer gives this definition to nurturing.
A pair of glasses.
He says
a
this
pair
is
of
the whole training and education relates to
double
the
up.
Cultivation
go
of the mind and the morals.
Okay, we don't have a form
and
for
employs
for
this purpose now
pair.
Commands and admonition, now reproof and punishment.
Okay. So there's a dual
so
form.
You've
Hebrew.
Got the responsibility.
Now, there's another
of
thing they talk about, and people will argue this.
That's
well, it's just the royal.
And you've got to do it by showing example, by guiding them, by even rebuking
them. English
kind of
has it too.
If
somebody's doing a writing, sometimes they come to conclusions and they go,
how you're
and this is the
path.
This is the take we have on it. Or this
it behooves us to know how to do
it. He'd only be one guy writing, but he uses the we.
And
it's called the royal we in certain languages.
Being an educator and a mentor.
Yeah, the royal plural. Now, nobody has ever explained where the plural came from.
This is something,
as I know,
as parents we need to think about.
So if somebody starts to argue,
you know, it's
the
royal
whole duration of a child's life.
You might start to ask them questions about.
Yeah, and this is where we need to think about.
A lot of arguments can go.
The
impression
we're leaving
on our children.
I'll give you some examples.
Do they look up to us?
Okay, the Bible
the
has a flood
they turn to
story. When
they need help.
So does the Gilgamesh.
If they see in you someone who
story.
Is...
that's Babylonian writing.
Okay.
Now,
some
will argue, well,
guide and
since
teacher.
The Gilgamesh Ashes,
or their spiritual growth,
epic was written before
even later
Genesis,
life,
whatever,
especially when
they're looking
the
to
Bible
families.
Borrowed from the Gilgamesh
when they're epic.
Banging it against
okay,
the world.
That's one way of arguing
right
it.
Or
could it be possible that
there
really was a universal flood
child goes to
and that you're going
to
find that story in just about the writings, old writings of just about every civilization?
With.
Yeah.
Have you made that impression in your child's
and
mind?
And you do.
Even
now,
I think the Chinese have a story of the flood.
From the Old Testament,
like
we have this guideline, Deuteronomy
people.
6. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be in your heart. This should be in your heart.
There's other things, you know, that
how
can,
much is God's word inside of you
what it is right
written
now.
There?
I'm getting too old for this.
How much do you know? How much have you applied to life?
Anyway,
the
same
more
thing
that's
about
there,
about
the easier it is to transfer to your children.
Where do you get a plurality?
The more it is like
royal
you can do
scripture.
What God does as you walk through life, anything becomes
oh,
an example.
I know what it was. Okay,
anything becomes a visual aid.
Evolution. If you find a bunch of old bones in a
child,
teaches
that
them
where
diligently
started?
These commandments to your sons,
or
you shall talk
in
them
cities,
when you sit in your
that
house.
That was just somebody that wandered off for a
walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise out, rise up.
So
this is every part of
this
day.
Way,
or can go this
are
way.
Are you constantly mentoring the
just
children?
Just because you find something,
being with them.
What are the possibilities? You can look at
and this is one
as
of the ways
royal,
they look to you.
This
do,
is where they've got their education from.
People, did people start
this
using
is where
a
plurality
their education.
In order to talk about the royal
but
we?
But as parents, do you do
and
this?
Then God borrowed it?
You know, are you there
refer
constantly
to himself,
for your children? The
or
world is there.
Do we get it
because
God always
and everything
the
else?
For
it's
himself.
Mentoring your children. You've got to counterbalance it.
I mean, this comes out. Is God
in
call
so
himself
many
a
ways,
king
people are, you know,
because men call
know,
themselves kings and we
know
just kind of borrow a title? Or was God a king
bring your children away from the world?
You may have to do some homeschooling.
Notice Ephesians 4.
Spend that much time with
Paul
children,
talks about our Father who is in heaven,
the damage,
which all fatherhood gets its name.
Children from the damage,
we don't call God our Father
do.
Because we have some sort of a relationship like that men have already come up
goes
with.
On to go, yeah,
we call ourselves fathers because we already have a father. We're identifying with that relationship.
It's just saying, get it out in front
if
of
anybody
you.
Starts arguing the royal we,
we already know.
If you
the
have to
us
in
the
hour
the
refers
you
to
learn, if you're going
a multitude
college,
of individuals.
To attack the stuff
around.
A friend of mine was learning law, and he'd put it on
over your head, 8x10s,
and he'd stick it all on the walls.
The argument that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are all manifestations of the same being finds a problem in the event of the baptism of Jesus.
Yeah, I know it works.
You've got
you know,
Jesus
little,
in the water. You got the Father talking from heaven, and you got the Holy Spirit coming down like a throne.
And everything I need to know is up there, and I constantly test
myself.
Either
buy it that it's three individual,
dig out the books, if you have to keep digging stuff out,
or you got something strange going on where Jesus is in the water, and he's throwing his voice down and make it sound like there's a Father up there. And I don't know what he's doing with the Holy Spirit thing.
Because it's always there before you.
Or the little slogans you put on.
Offers more problems than
the refrigerator. Or the little things you can hang on the door. Yeah. Or the bumper stickers.
And the divinity of each is clear.
Among any who believe in the Scriptures as the Word of God, there is no dispute as to whether the Father is God or not.
Put the frontals on.
Notice the following passage is really acceptable. This is in the garden after the resurrection. And Mary just found out that the guy she's talking to is not the gardener.
Time. You know, the worth of God, His presence, His love, His caring,
Lord,
what He can do for you.
And Jesus says to her, stop clinging to me.
All these things have to be there.
For I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brother and say to them, I have ascended to my Father
and
your Father.
Modern day thinkers say
God
this stifles initiative,
God
creates frustration, and makes a child
so
sadistic.
Jesus refers to the Father as, you know, but just about anybody who reads the Bible,
however, discipline is
recognizes that the Father is God. He's not put any other way.
It depends on really the
as to the deity of Jesus
you talk to.
There's evidence to be found for this as well. First,
Dobson,
you notice that when people start to worship angels or apostles, they'll back off and go,
life
not
disciplines
me.
People.
Because
you
the
take
only
a
person
kid
who
goes up to
God.
A hot stove and grabs a pan,
whereas
hot,
Jesus accepted worship.
I mean, that pan is going to do more damage to that child than you'll ever do by giving him a couple welts across the backside.
This indicates that Jesus believed himself to be divine. Second, the beginning chapters
of
the book
of
Hebrews argue for a station above angels. Notice, even the Father says to the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever. So Jesus called the Father God. The Father calls the Son God.
You're establishing your authority.
Hebrews 1:8.
Of course, when you meld it
with other things.
Below
are some passages that bring out the fact that being the Son of God
is
equivalent to being God.
You know, the kudos, you give them the encouragement.
John 5:18, for this cause, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God.
The Jews understood that.
Jehovah's Witnesses
will
argue, well, aren't we all just sons of God?
Explains to us the rules and explains
not the way he claimed it. Because he doesn't go, and
there's
going to
be times...
our Father.
Some psychologists almost put it like
Jesus
on
always says he is
on a
my
herd basis.
Yeah,
there's always something
and
in
this
the
is why
at times
going to challenge the leadership. They thought he was blaspheming, making himself out.
A lot of times,
God.
All it takes is a quick
that's
you
what
know,
the way
growl or something like that, and then you're good for another couple.
Philippians
of years.
2:6. Who, although Paul says he existed in the form, the very form of God,
rebel against authority. Probably around
this
two,
is the way he existed.
Probably around
but
nine.
He did not
it
regard
like
equality with God a thing to be grasped.
Much set in their teens.
Equal with God.
If you don't handle it each time,
the Jehovah's Witnesses and the New World Translation, this is the way they translate. He gave no occasion to a seizure. I still haven't figured out what they mean by that.
And
but they've twisted it enough so it doesn't say what plainly Paul wants it to say.
I remember one
Jesus
time
existed in the freedom of God before he came.
This couple,
okay, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word.
Fact,
the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
They were a little worried about it. I said, if you can't get along with these people, you can't get along with anybody. Yeah. And it was true. You know, the life was
between
the thing
Greek
you
and English instruction.
But one time I remember,
we basically have to follow the
one of the teenagers
verb, direct object,
said something about mom. And perhaps he forgot that his dad.
If
was
there's
an
any kind of emphasis, I mean, just use very.
The
boy hit
when
the
he
wall.
Picked himself up off the floor, he realized
what
there was something he was never going
to
call his mother again.
Now we've got all the ways of doing this. We can
alert,
italicize. We can
and
bold.
Stay with him a long
we can
time.
With emphasis go the boy
and
as opposed
to
a girl or whatever.
The respect
hit the ball.
It comes
or
discipline.
The boy hit
if you don't
the ball.
Give him
you know,
some of
throw
that.
It, whatever. I'm emphasizing
then eventually
the
state's
going
to take
it.
Over, and what they do
well,
to the kid
the
is going to be a lot worse than you'll ever dream of.
Emphasis.
So it's better a little harm to the backside. And you know, even
what the ancient
disciplines
do emphasize something.
When you do it, you explain why you do
well,
it.
Well, because they're inflected languages.
Out of love and all this kind of stuff.
They
like
don't
that.
Have to follow
can,
a word
you know,
order. get it going in the right direction. So the
that is, the way a word ends tells you exactly which part of the sentence it belongs.
Even though one of the passages goes,
And our the boy hit the ball, if we hit, turned it around, goes, the ball hit the boy.
The rod until it,
we've changed the meaning entirely.
There's some things, you don't slap the
but
kid,
with the Greek, you don't hit him in the
whatever
throat,
they intend because of touch, the ending of the word, they'll tell you what's the subject,
still respect
the verb, what's the direct object, what's the indirect object.
So
the form
again,
always tells you where it
God
goes.
Says, you can work your way
what
through.
What you have here in Greek,
smart approach,
is what they call
discipline is essential. It produces response toward authority, whereas laxity paves
so
the way for crime, misbehavior, and general respect for
that's
order
describing
in society.
Again.
It makes a well-ordered family and family affiliation. It is essential to the well-being of the
what
child.
What they've done here in the original, what John did, was flip this around.
Now, Raltuni, author of Kids, Crime, and Chaos, after reviewing
the
delinquency
they don't have the bold, they put the main point at the beginning of a phrase or a sentence.
Relating to the
so the emphasis by
he says, I never saw
John
a delinquent had a good, strong
he's
relationship
saying,
with his father.
God was the word.
I mean, this is how he works on the field. Those who know blame parental indifference as an
not
important
tell you
contributing
the word
factor
was God,
in the unusual behavior
to kind of make it all rhyme
youth,
or poetic or something like that.
A little more parental discipline
point,
in
the
formative
make the
period
emphasis.
Teaches
as
respect.
I'm talking about this word,
right,
this word that became flesh.
Child
this word was God. He was in the beginning. Facts. He was with God. He was God. That's the emphasis.
Proverbs 23, there it is. Don't hold back discipline from the child, although you beat him with a rod.
And you can't
he won't
take
die.
That out of it. You can't play with the articles or anything.
And again, Proverbs are usually general statements. They don't apply in every case.
And also, notice Titus 2:13.
I have
Paul writing
children,
to Titus says, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, there are places when it goes, the great God, and you know it's referring to the Father, and it says the Father, and coupled with that is
that
our Savior,
you
know, Jesus Christ.
Beat him to death
but that's
nearly,
not the way it's structured.
Still
here.
Wouldn't get
you've got a coupletive conjunction,
you know,
putting two titles together
the
to refer to one individual.
Get,
he is our Savior, and Jesus Christ is our great God.
At some point, most kids are like that.
That's the emphasis.
Learn to deal with
that's what you're looking forward to appearing.
I'll probably say it again in a few minutes, but
the glory of the Son of God.
If you decide to become parents,
he is God.
Did you look into it first?
Something we're going to bring up Sunday night.
I mean, tonight, did you never read
series.
A book?
And what are we
going to
look at in our study
one?
Of Mark? Why was Jesus
running into problems,
condemned to death?
Perhaps that's why.
It wasn't for anything.
I mean, if nothing else
said,
you at least want to know what to deal with them for the first 2 years.
Because they couldn't get the witnesses.
How to change a diaper, how to
deal
with anything.
All
the sicknesses are going to run through.
Jesus said, I taught in the temple.
You can even go to, when you was planning to get married.
Anyway. You know exactly what I said.
Did you?
And they couldn't stop
to figure out exactly what it means to be married?
Nor for anything he did. Do you know of one wrong thing that Jesus ever did in his whole life that was wrong?
When you become married? The problems you have to look at, the finances,
people, raise the dead, and everything else.
The problem of parents.
And they try to get,
all the things out of the part of the mix.
His answer to that was,
it was God's
working.
Monumental steps people have to take, and they take
no problem with that. So why
they
was
did more research
Jesus
by
executed? Not for what he said, not for what he did, but for what he was. He fessed up to being the Son of God.
Before you get involved.
And for that, he was convicted of blasphemy. And execute.
But even after they get started, too
nobody's
many are too busy fathers.
That.
Too busy, The life makes you too busy.
But that's what he said he was. I'm the Son of God. And
the
they took it as to mean what it actually means. He was deity.
Yeah, okay, the one we just looked at. The power of a father's influence cannot be overestimated.
The Holy Spirit, too, has proof for his divinity. Paul told the Corinthians that the Holy Spirit was the Spirit sent from God and knows the mind of God because he can search the deep things of God.
It looks to the parents.
If the Spirit can search the deep
so
things of God,
don't really look at how much influence, for good
God
or bad,
is.
You're going to have.
So he's
I mean,
he's
primarily, you are the model
if
he
knows
the way the child is going to have its own family.
And he knows everything God knows.
No, he doesn't know any other way.
Right there.
So he's going to raise his kids the way he was raised. So if you're
Spirit
an abusive
knows
father,
God knows
that's what he's going to do to his
financial. But also in Acts 5, Peter told Ananias, when he's
David
lied,
was a prodigal father who destroyed influence and it was
five,
immoral conduct. Before.
And Peter said, Ananias, I guess Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit.
Conduct cannot
that's
be
what he lied to the Holy Spirit. And keep back some of the price
the way
of the
we
land.
Behave.
You've not lied to men. You've lied to God.
We see this in commercials, the one where
the Holy
father
Spirit,
starts
to
smoke, so the child's looking to pick up a cigarette.
Maybe another way to explain the problem is to give an example from another area. If we looked at the
Second Samuel 15,
this is where it gets a little hairy. Okay,
talked about
follow
this.
Me on this.
What influence did David's life have on his children?
I'm not trying to insult your intelligence.
No, it was after this that Absalom, the son of David,
thing,
had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar,
and the same problem,
Amnon, the son of David, loved her. He loved his sister, but he didn't love her in a right way.
How many species on earth,
following some of his father's
I guess there's
examples,
hundreds of thousands of species.
Notice,
but of all those species on earth,
did not listen to her when she tried to tell him no,
or
was stronger than she was. For you adults, read between the lines so we can't, you know, don't get into
one. A species, as defined by scientists, is something
Tamar
that can interrelate.
Completely devastated.
You know, it can cohabitate.
And
it can produce offspring. I know there's little mice,
brother,
you know, that
all the things we pass on to the
children. Little kind of species of mice
of our
that lived on one side of the hill. And some of them migrated to the other side. But some of, you know, the ones on one side became
all this
diurnal,
too.
The ones on the other side became
diurnal. The parents
diurnal.
Are responsible,
not
the
only
church.
Mate during the day, the others would only mate at night. So because they couldn't mate with each other.
We're trying to hurt anybody's feelings here, you know, unless it's the parents.
Same mouse, but
when you look
that's
at what the church tries to
made
do
two
here.
Different species.
I mean,
primarily,
man,
that's not true.
The classes that we offer the kids
what color
are basically
a
babysitting
service. What culture we are, whatever.
So that the parents can sit in
brown
adult white, class,
I don't know, white grain
you know, without the distraction.
We can
now,
have children.
The teachers that do the
all
teaching,
races,
though,
you know, from whatever
make that opportunity
together,
some of the best I've seen.
Children.
I mean, just go through some of the classes.
If
the teachers
if the blood is right,
you know, use it
have
to teach the Bible to the kids. All
if
levels.
The blood is right, then you can have
if the classes are done up.
Body parts interchange.
These teachers are not paid.
That makes us all one species.
They respect, you know,
just
their,
one.
The
there's nothing
of time
else like man. He's just one
for
species.
To give the child the love for God.
One
whatever.
Kind, the way the Bible
but
says.
But hey, you know, you can't
now,
say
you, if my
how
child
many
bad,
make up that
it was
species.
The church's fault.
That are like man.
How long do they have well, those kids?
6 billion, not last.
45 count. Minutes at, you know,
well,
at the maximum.
Thing. How many species?
Maybe an hour and a half if they
make
you bring them Wednesday night.
God.
Or if you get them here on time.
Just one.
There is no
the major
other
responsibility
in all of the universe, no other kind in all
the
universe that has divine attributes. There's
they,
just
you
one.
You need to sit down with these. According to
God said, there's
says,
no other gods
you
besides
need to
me.
Sit down with these kids at least
none.
6 days a week.
Zippo. Paul says they're not even
they
gods. The idols are built to demons.
This is what the Jews did. When they did it,
there's
they
only one that has
that
the
love
characteristic
God, serve
of divinity.
God. When they quit doing it, Israel
but
fell.
How many make up? That species.
The reason our country is in the state it is because it's quit doing what the founding fathers wanted to do from the very beginning. Teach the Bible in schools.
But that's how they can be.
And in the home. The primers, the first primers you'll look at in our public schools taught the scriptures.
Okay. The chart on the next page hopefully will
because
be
because the founding fathers realized you know, the bringing up of a child, and since they
we're
had the children
here,
for, you know, a couple
so
of hours
we
a
get
day,
the term Godhead from
best
instill
them the principles
we're
of Christianity.
About being,
but it still isn't the job of the school.
The
it's
fullness
the job
of the Godhead
of the
dwells.
God has given
bodily.
The parents the responsibility,
so we'll just
especially
put in parentheses
the fathers.
Deity. When you're talking about God, it's a
so a prodigal
a strange,
father is one who comes home
version.
And has figured
you know,
that well, the wife will do something
it,
with the kids during the day, and then they sit down and read the paper, watch TV, or the sports,
all
or whatever.
Deity,
and never sit down
Christ.
With a child
it's
to talk
same.
To him about God.
So there's just
so they're not a mentor, they're not a teacher.
There's only
not much of anything.
One that has all these characteristics,
and they've shirked
of being
the
God,
whole responsibility that God has given them.
Kindly, you know, as God is.
Why have children? If you're
himself.
Just going to turn them over
but
the world.
The scriptures, you know, show that there's three different
I mean,
ones.
You're supposed to
and
be
all we've done is here.
They
go,
should be seeing.
Okay, first of all,
love
on the
them,
outside,
you care for them, you want
the
best for them, you want them to be right with God, so that.
Okay.
When you get
John
the age, they don't turn you
the
into
Holy
a nurse,
Spirit,
put you into a nursing home.
What the Father
have you been
sent?
Into a nursing home?
So it makes a difference.
Those places are, you figure if you're going to go there, you're going to die.
Two. Also, the Father is not the Son, the Son is not the Father, John 8:18. The Father who sent
Roger,
me bears witness
they
on
they put him in a
So Jesus makes a distinction between the Father. He's the Father, I'm the Son, okay? Nor is there, he's sitting there throwing up.
Overwhelming or everything else.
Convulsion of the two. Of the Holy Spirit
in the IV.
The Holy Spirit is not the
them and whatever.
The Spirit, Acts 10:38, you know of Jesus. How, and this is
probably
Peter talking to Cornelius, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. So he makes a distinction. Here's Jesus and the Father anointed him with the Holy Spirit. You got the three right there.
I mean, God has got this system where
closely
we keep looking
passages
out for
we already looked at. The Father, Jesus said,
especially
is
so
my
that,
God.
Yeah, I mean, you want to raise children,
but
that
the Son,
don't
Hebrews
look after
8,
their children.
The Father says,
so that,
I mean, God
a whole
is
generation
real.
Of grandparents that have to raise
God,
their grandkids
and what we
because
just at Acts
the kids in the middle are deadbeats.
They lied to the Holy Spirit, which is the same as lying to God. So a little chart that hopefully
puts
it down for you. So we have context questions for this and some things to think about. We talked about how the three and the Godhead are one.
Raising children, not animals.
I'm kind of running out of time, so I'm going to skip some of this. It's kind of gross. Fathers have power for greatness.
You should be looking at it as
the Father,
as a privilege.
The Son, and the Holy Spirit.
You've been given a young soul to shape.
About. A lot of it's in their function, what they do.
You've got an opportunity that...
And how do we know that the Word in John 1:1 is
any other person's life?
The Word was with God,
as a teacher,
the Word was God,
as a
the
preacher,
Word became flesh,
or whatever,
you know,
in church
that
or in secular
Jesus.
School. None of us have
the, context,
the opportunity that a parent does to sit with a child and direct its path and its thinking and everything else just about every minute of its life.
There's no hobby that can compare to it.
Yeah, we're about the
there's
same
no
number,
responsibility that you're going to have
272.
Compared to it.
Everything else should be subordinate to it, even your job.
The title is Jesus, the Loving Shepherd.
And just for the living.
There's a lot in the song.
Be with your parents or with your kids.
Thinking about.
And what you're trying to do, too.
I mean, just the title. And the first line talks about, there's a call that goes out from him. That's why we always put an invitation to these things.
The other one does.
Parental opportunity that God always makes.
Okay, you only get one chance at it, generally.
Okay,
make the most of it.
This is
we should study our children, recognize their capabilities, encourage them. Lose this opportunity,
it'll never be there again.
A loving shepherd.
I mean, find out what they're interested in.
We talked about the difference.
Give them
God.
Things. Show them the divergence of things and like find out what they might be interested in.
Even of all the pseudo-gods, the Romans, the Greeks, whatever that you can think of, can you think of any of them ever being loving?
Through some of this other stuff.
None
is revered.
I gave you the example of...
For the people that they were God over.
Well, I mean, this example is too much.
Elijah kind of makes fun of it in the sense
Eli
that...
Eli
was...
Pray a little louder, maybe he's sleeping.
Like he really doesn't
and
care
pretty
what's
much
going
on. The law in Israel.
That's so the God of the Bible. God
I mean,
is
he was
in our lives,
up there with the king.
Part of our lives...
And he's going
to
have the responsibility of raising
Jesus
Samuel.
Jesus wants to be a loving
he's
shepherd.
Going to be a unique
wants
individual.
To be a father.
I mean, as we studied Samuel, he was a statesman. He was a judge.
Jesus says, come.
Okay. He's pretty much a leader.
Come into the flock.
During times of trouble, he brought Israel together, all the tribes.
Far better than you can ever imagine.
There's no one who did as much as Eli could for a nation.
But also in the one to come. I can make your life here.
How
better,
could Eli,
give you a better perspective of things.
As much as Samuel
universal.
Did. How could Eli raise such
an individual?
It's
funny in the Old Testament where the people used to take their little gods with them so the gods would be there.
Notice.
It's almost like
these kids
left a certain area,
didn't
left your
raise.
God behind. And sometimes they go make
God says, in that day I will carry out against Eli all that I've spoken concerning his house from the beginning to the end. For I've told him that I'm about to judge his house forever.
You can go. Halfway around the world.
For the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them.
It's a comfort.
He neglected his sons altogether. He knew what they were doing.
As
priests, they were extorting
the
people.
It's an expansion of our
taking whatever
understanding, of our scene, of our world that we live in.
Spoils.
Of how much
God says, therefore I have sworn
it.
To the house of Eli, the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering
box.
Forever.
that we're not living in a world that we can't
here?
Deal with. That
we I mean, don't Eli could have had a house, a dynasty like David or Abraham or whatever. He's going, because you didn't
nobody else has
bring up your kids right,
grow up in the church,
I'm going to cut it off.
How good we have it.
They're going to die. You're not going to have any children. You're not going to have any kind of a household that's going to maintain.
Like the prodigal son. And then
I'm going to curse it. It will never again come back. And I don't care if you offer sacrifice or any kind of offering. I'm never going to forgive this.
For any that want to come into the fold, the flock, you know, whatever.
We need to learn from these.
To really partake of the things that God wants to give us because he does love us. So there's
children grow up too fast.
There's studies you need to go through.
Have some other time. We may not.
If you like,
tomorrow's too late for our children.
They're growing rapidly.
Or provide someday they will leave and you'll never have enjoyed them or even known them.
All the reality of God over everything else that the world presents.
One of the things you're trying to do,
if at this time you'd like to partake of the,
is make an atmosphere
being buried with Christ,
where
to rise up to walk in a newness of life.
I try to concentrate on doing this. Yeah, I can see it.
You've already started the journey.
You know, she goes to Fresno. She goes off to Colorado.
Prayers of the congregation.
Help out and stuff. And I love it when she comes to the door and goes, oh, it's so good to be home. At least that indicates I don't beat her enough, too much. Well, that's what you're trying to do. You know, you're trying as a home to create an atmosphere where people want to be there. You know, the spouse wants to be there. The children want to be there. You know, after the man's had a tough day at the office, he wants to come home to a place where he's loved and cared for and whatever. The wife, whatever she's doing when she comes back or as she receives, gets the same kind of love and affection. The children, after they come home from school, a grueling day or whatever, and they're among parents that love them, that care for them, want to help them, want the best for them. You're making something. The greatest example I ever heard of a family that went to a football game. Their son was playing, and afterward the team won, and they were going to go out and celebrate. And you know, the boy came over to the side, and he said, "Dad, we're going to go out. You know, is that okay?" He goes, "Sure." He says, "What you're going to do?" And the dad said, "We're going to go home and have some hot chocolate." And the boy thought about it. And goes, "Can I come?" Where you'd rather be with your parents than with, you know, the guys. You know, you've built a home, you know, for all those involved. People like to be there. Prefer to be there over anything else. Concern for children is our greatest need. Scientific study shows that 10 greatest fears among people were money, security, health, politics, da-da-da-da-da. No one expressed concern over their children. And that's why a nation falls apart. No concern for the children. There used to be a commercial that, parents, do you know where your children are? Well, they started calling homes. And they found out the parents were gone and the kids were home, and the kids didn't know where the parents were. You know, it's that kind of flip-flop generation we've entered into. Preacher once talked to a young man about to be executed. He asked if he was ashamed of the reproach he'd brought upon his father. The young man replied, "When I would go to my father and ask him something, he would say, 'Run away, lad, I'm busy.' My father was busy writing his treatise on law of trust. Well, he finished his book, and here I am, about to be executed." Sometimes just a little bit of concern, caring, listening, whatever, would have made a difference in a young person's life. We should not squander love. Prodigal fathers squander their love. Louis Poeter, director of the Juvenile Relationships in Savannah, Georgia, once said, "Children do not need perfect parents, but they do need warm, human, understanding parents. Children need to feel wanted, loved, valued. Mental illness and spiritual depravity often springs from a feeling of not being wanted." I mean, it's probably one of the most strongest needs among any of us, to be wanted.
When we don't get the right kind of want, we will settle for perversions. You know, it's the obnoxious child who gets beaten a lot. He's that way a lot of times because at least it's some attention that he's getting rather than none at all, and he'll take it. It is better as a father to make a life rather than a living, to set right examples, to spend time in training our children. It is time well spent with them. It is the model that they will have in training their own. Some of the stuff we already said. Quick summary. Mentor and provide all you can for your children. Time is too precious to waste. You know, before you know it, they're going to be out the door. You're going to wonder where they are and why they never come back. See, use God as a father example. A lot of us, you know, say, well, I come from a dysfunctional family. Who doesn't? Some way or other. You know, one extreme or the other. What we need to do and why we have the Scriptures is so that we can go to the Scriptures and see the example of our Heavenly Father, who's the perfect Father. See how He treats His children. See the relationship between Him and His Son. See how God disciplines, how God loves and encourages. Get it all from Him, not from some psych book. And that's the best place to go. Now, there might be some good Christian psychologists out there that can be of help, and I've found a few. But primarily what you want to do is just go to the Scriptures. And, final note, if you're having a problem with your kids, perhaps God has gifted you with something to let you know what kind of a child are you to Him. You know, do you complain that your kids never write home, they never call? When was the last time you prayed? Your kids aren't concerned with your life, you know, what you're doing. They've never asked a question. Have you ever asked God what He would like for you? What His purpose for you was? Sometimes God gives us problems to let us know what kind of a problem we are to Him. All of life's a learning experience. Learn from it. Grow from it. And pass it on to the kids. Anything we need to do, invitation is extended. Won't you come as we stand to sing?